Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
All hail King Zorn.
All hail King Zorn. On Mondays, we are visited from, we get a visit from Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Now, last week, not in attendance, but for good reason.
I was at Fiddle Camp.
Oh, you weren't here last week?
I wasn't here last week. I know. It seems like I was. I know. It seems
John
like I
Cougar
was.
Fiddle Camp.
John Cougar Fiddle Camp.
What you goes on there at Fiddle Camp?
There's lots of fiddle playing going on there.
Fiddling
there's,
around.
There's, we have a three-hour lesson in the morning. Where
but
we
you're already really good at it. Is there still
always
things
room
to
for
learn?
Improvement.
Oh,
there?
Yes. There's lots and lots to learn. And there are master fiddle players there who give, like I said, three-hour lessons in the morning at various skill levels. And then there are little concerts in the afternoon, workshops. Where you
Who's
work
considered by fiddlers to be the best of all fiddlers?
That's a really good question. And this is one that we went around, everyone asked who their favorite fiddle player is.
Yeah.
I will say one thing, though, that the vast majority, I think, of really great hot fiddlers these days are young women.
Fiddlin' Marcy.
Fiddlin' Marcy?
Do you know who that is?
I don't, no.
From Mojo and the Bayou Gypsies. I don't know if she's with the band, but she's played with them. I almost thought we had her
on. I think
on
we did have her
at
on
the
at
Loop
the Loop a
radio
thousand years
station.
Ago. We had Fiddlin' Marcy.
Because
on.
Once you meet a girl named Fiddlin' Marcy, you never forget that name.
Yeah. Hey, guys, can I interrupt you? Here comes President Trump.
Oh. All right.
From the diplomatic room at the White House.
Cuts and reform. We are renegotiating trade deals and making them good for the American worker. And it's about time. Our economy is now strong. The stock market continues to hit record highs. Unemployment is at a 16-year low. And businesses are more optimistic than ever before. Companies are moving back to the United States and bringing many thousands of jobs with them. We have already created over 1 million jobs since I took office. We will be discussing economic issues in greater detail later this afternoon. But based on the events that took place over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, I would like to provide the nation with an update on the ongoing federal response to the horrific attack and violence that was witnessed by everyone. I just met with FBI Director Christopher Wray and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The Department of Justice has opened a civil rights investigation into the deadly car attack that killed one innocent American and wounded 20 others. To anyone who acted criminally in this weekend's racist violence, you will be held fully accountable. Justice will be delivered. As I said on Saturday, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America. And as I have said many times before, no matter the color of our skin, we all live under the same laws. We all salute the same great flag, and we are all made by the same Almighty God. We must love each other, show affection for each other, and unite together in condemnation of hatred, bigotry, and violence. We must rediscover the bonds of love and loyalty that bring us together as Americans. Racism is evil. And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. We are a nation founded on the truth that all of us are created equal. We are equal in the eyes of our Creator. We are equal under the law, and we are equal under our Constitution. Those who spread violence in the name of bigotry strike at the very core of America. 2 days ago, a young American woman, Heather Heyer, was tragically killed. Her death fills us with grief, and we send her family our thoughts, our prayers, and our love. We also mourn the two Virginia State Troopers who died in service to their community, their Commonwealth, and their country. Troopers Jay Cullen and Burke Bates exemplify the very best of America, and our hearts go out to their families, their friends, and every member of American law enforcement. These three fallen Americans embody the goodness and decency of our nation. In times such as these, America has always shown its true character, responding to hate with love, division with unity, and violence with an unwavering resolve for justice. As a candidate, I promise to restore law and order to our country, and our federal law enforcement agencies are following through on that pledge. We will spare no resource in fighting so that every American child can grow up free from violence and fear. We will defend and protect the sacred rights of all Americans, and we will work together so that every citizen in this blessed land is free to follow their dreams in their hearts and to express the love and joy in their souls. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
And Bill and Wendy, there you go. It took a while for him to get there, but he finally did call out the KKK, neo-Nazis, and other hate groups. It, you know, he started out talking about the economy and then went into the statement about Charlottesville. And
yeah,
the statement, I think, got stronger as it as it went on.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune, so we'll go over what was just said by Donald Trump, and that's what's coming up next, so stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leffen, it's Wendy Snyder. Eric Zorn is our guest. Eric, fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune. President Donald Trump spoke just moments ago about the events over the weekend. He finally said something negative about white supremacists and Nazis and neo-Nazis. Is it too little too late?
I don't think it's... This is a good guy. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. I was just going to say, I thought that the speech was well written.
Yeah.
It was clearly like a group effort among people who are a little more measured than he is and who understood with the reaction that had gone on over the weekend that people had been very upset about what he had not said, basically. Mm-hmm. And so, he touched all the bases in this speech. He didn't read it with a lot of passion. It wasn't like...
Seemed kind of forced.
It wasn't like when Barack Obama would go to these scenes and he would really speak with passion and great force about this kind of stuff. But I think if you look at the words on the page, he said what he needed to say. And he should have said them on Saturday. So it was too late. I don't know if it's too little, though. I think that he was able to at least...
2 days too late.
Two days too late, but too little.
The speech started out with him talking about how great the economy is, how fantastic the job numbers are, the stock market's never been better. Is that for him or is that for us? Why does that get mentioned at the top of the speech?
Well, I have no idea why he would bring those two things together.
To toot his own horn, to say the economy is looking good.
It struck a very strange false note, and I thought for a minute maybe he wasn't even going to get to Charlottesville,
so
that he was going to go, I want to talk about the economy and see you later, I'm out of here.
But is that him saying to us, I know things sure look desperate if you were anywhere near a TV or the internet over the weekend, but look at all the good. Was that his way of
this
saying?
This is what he's been saying. Like, this is how, because his whole healthcare thing fell apart.
Yeah.
Looks like their tax overhaul is not going anywhere right now.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to get money to build his wall. That all these promises he made, but he's able to point to this stock market, which has been growing. It's been going on a steady upward rise since most of the Obama years.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked about the number of jobs he's created. It's actually been a fairly routine job creation performance, very similar to what you saw in Obama's term, maybe even a little lower. So
the stock market is a little confounding, though.
The stock market is confounding. I think that some of these businesses are still thinking that they're going to get the tax relief that they are hoping for and the regulatory relief. The stock market, you can live and die by the stock market.
Right.
The stock market is probably going to come down at some point. Then it's going to be fake news, or it's going to be he's not responsible for it. So, there's only so much that a president is responsible for. I mean, the Republicans never gave Barack Obama credit for this. He basically tripled the stock market during his years.
Yeah.
So they never give him any credit for that. So all of a sudden, like, oh, look, the stock market's going up. It's our fault. We get the credit for it. I'm not sure that's going to make resonate with people. But again, it was a very strange way to start the speech.
It was.
Can I throw a little moment at you? I don't know if you saw David Duke's words over the weekend. David Duke's is a...
Right, and I know David Duke.
All right, so David Duke comes out and he says, "We're gonna, I'm mincing words a little bit, but we're gonna get everything that Donald Trump said when he was campaigning. We're gonna follow through on those things and make those things happen."
This was his promise. This is Donald Trump's promise to us. So, we would be able to take back America.
Right. So if you're Donald Trump and you hear that, don't you say to yourself, well, I don't want to be associated with David Duke. That's the last thing I want. I got to get front and center and say to the American people, I don't want the support of David Duke or any neo-Nazis or any fascist groups, anyone who's like that. Why didn't he do that? Why is that being
done today?
I
think because his instinct is not to push those people away. He knows that they are part of his base. See, I don't think it's a large enough group of people to be worried about nurturing. That you need to distance yourself from them because your hope for winning re-election and for holding on to the Senate and the House and all things is to appeal to moderate voters. It's not to appeal to the people who are on the far fringe. I mean, those people are the number of neo-Nazis, the number of white supremacists and alt-right. I mean, it's not a huge number of people. So to be trying to win favor with him, they're probably going to vote for you anyway.
But
right?
This is a guy who reacts. If Rosie O'Donnell says something negative about Donald Trump, he jumps on that.
Right. Yes.
So why wouldn't he do the opposite? If somebody, an undesirable, quote unquote, says something positive, why wouldn't he jump on it?
Because they're saying positive things about him. Right? I mean, this is with all these people at this rally in Charlottesville. Yeah. They were wearing Trump hats and they were saying that Trump is great for them. And so his political instinct isn't very well tuned. So he'll come out and think, well, these people are supporting me. How can I distance myself from people who are supporting me? Well, that
despite who they are,
that's a little bit upper level politics. It's not just like you like me, then I like you kind of thing, which is kind of how he deals with Putin, I think.
Yeah.
And you want to get a situation where you need to think, a couple of moves ahead on the chessboard and realize that getting close to these people, not renouncing them right away, trying to do what he did was this false equivalent, saying, well, it was all sides, violence and hatred on all sides, trying to equate those people who are down there marching with their Nazi flags and their Nazi armbands with the people who are protesting against them. That was tin-eared and wrong. And I think it revealed something about his character that is really troubling. And a lot of Republicans came out. When you had, like, the head of a pharmaceutical company, Merck, this morning resigned from one of his. I mean, you've got a head of a pharmaceutical company getting the moral high ground on you.
Exactly.
But he took a shot at him
faster than
he did at the Nazis. And
right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, this is his instinct. He's a counterpuncher.
But this is the perfect opportunity for a president to stand up for what's wrong and say something.
Right.
Isn't it?
It was. Saturday was the day where he missed the layup, where he missed the 2-inch putt. I mean, it was the day to be presidential. It was the day to rise above this stuff and to speak to our values and to speak to what this country stands for. And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Today, I think he did do it. Too late. Yes, obviously too late.
And I said this off the air. I probably shouldn't say it. But to me, as I was listening, I was hearing what he almost had to say. It was written nicely. I don't know if he did it. But as I'm listening, there's no emotion, no sincerity behind it.
No, no passion.
It's like a husband who keeps cheating on his wife and he goes, honey, really, this time is the last time. I'm never going to do it again. There was no passion behind it. This is something to get passionate about.
Right. But I don't think he wrote that speech. I mean, the remarks, we got in trouble the other day. It looked to me like he was reading some very anodyne prepared remarks. And then he looks up and goes, on all sides. He looked like he was improvising that. And
but
that,
you've seen him do that before, right? Where he goes, I need to go off book for a second. And he just reiterates what he already says. And you go, you didn't need to say that twice.
Well, or he lets loose with something that sort of reveals something about his character. I mean, I think that he did. He won. One of the ways that he won this election was he really, really appealed to this far right sentiment. He really appealed to those people. And they were four square behind him. They still are. There's all kinds of stuff online over the weekend about what was being written in the far right press about this, the stormtrooper sites and so on, that they were very happy that he hadn't distanced himself from him. They were saying, God bless this man. He walks away when they asked him to renounce the alt-right.
What do you make of this? There were a lot of people on the news shows all day yesterday saying that all those groups, all the neo-Nazi groups, all the alt-right groups, they kind of kept in the shadows, but now they feel like they have a friend in the White House. Now, that could be Donald Trump himself, or that could be Steve Bannon. But there was a feeling among those groups that we don't have to stay hidden anymore. We've got representation in Washington, in the White House, no less. Do you agree with that or disagree with
that? I do agree with that. I think that there's a lot to the idea that these people feel like this is the direction the country is going right now, that they can assert themselves in this way. They can fight back. I can't imagine a rally like this maybe 10 years ago. I don't think our country was there.
We're going backwards, aren't we?
Yep.
Well, we are in a lot of ways, and it's going to be interesting to see what they've threatened to go back to Charlottesville. The alt-right has threatened to go back and do these protests again. I think there are going to be a lot of fights about these Confederate monuments, because I think they should all come down. Honestly, anything that's a monument to these murderous traitors who went to war in defense of slavery, it ought to come down. It's not history.
Do they stop teaching it in history?
No. There's a difference between teaching it in history class or having it in a museum.
And paying tribute to it.
I mean, yeah. Some of these statues, many of them went up, you know, in the 1950s and 60s.
Right.
I mean, these were statements of, they were like the middle finger to the civil rights movement, these statues. They didn't go up like during the wars or right after the war. They were a statement in those statues. And the fact that these groups are rallying around these statues, to me, is reason enough to get rid of them all. So that happens.
God, I get sick to my stomach. Every morning I wake up, I check my, you know, AP News and other news sources to see what's happened in this crazy world of ours. And I feel like I've been punched in the stomach every day.
Right. And this isn't, we haven't even talked about North Korea. I was on vacation last week in the beautiful mountains of West Virginia. And I'm waking up every morning going, oh my gosh, he may nuke Chicago by the time I'm back. I may have to stay here. I hope I packed enough clothes. So
that's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.